Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shaily Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet Maheshwari from Shaily. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and we welcome all the participants to Shaily Limited Q2 FY2023 earnings call. Today we have with us all the senior management representative from Shaily Limited. We will start with the opening remarks from Mr. Sushovan Dasgupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, followed by a discussion on financial performance by Mr. Venkat Parasuraman, Chief Financial Officer. After that, we will open the floor for Q&A for all participants. Our earnings presentation is uploaded on the stock exchange website and our company website, shaily.com. We do hope you have already had the opportunity to go through the presentation. Please note that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. Kindly refer to the slide number 38 of the investor presentation for a detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sushovan Dasgupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Puneet, and good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to all on our Shaily second quarter full year 2023 earnings call. Let me first say I'm glad to inform that Mr. Vijay Kedia, a prominent and veteran investor, has joined our Shaily Limited board as a non-executive and non-independent director. He's a very popular name in the investment community and has inspired many youth investors through the large viewership on his YouTube channel. We warmly welcome Mr. Kedia on board at Shaily. Now on to our quarterly developments. Our hospital business continued to show consistent performance in all key operational and financial parameters in the last quarter on a year-on-year basis, delivering higher double-digit growth in both metrics of inpatient counts and surgery counts. The said performance is a result of the continuous all-rounded efforts taken by Shaily through various business development initiatives throughout the country, thereby improving our occupancy levels to almost 50% from 43% in the same quarter of last year. As stated on previous calls, our topmost priority continues to be accelerating our occupancy levels at each of our hospitals with each passing quarter, and hence we follow a robust process of closely monitoring the performances at unit levels across KPIs and immediately take required steps to drive further occupancy across our units. With the COVID situation easing out last quarter versus the past, we saw a moderation in COVID-related vaccinations in our hospitals to the tune of 14,900 booster doses in the last quarter. I would like to reiterate that our excellent hospital infrastructure, our ever-smiling and caring paramedics, and our supremely efficient doctors are always ready to cope up with any COVID or similar unfortunate crisis that might arise in the future. We are also committed to standing firm beside our patients and provide high-quality healthcare services. I'm happy to communicate that we have conducted more than 270 healthcare camps and provided 21 healthcare talks across various locations and consulted more than 8,300 patients in this quarter. It was very encouraging for us at Shaily to see numerous words of praise and positive testimonials flowing in every day from both our national and international patients on how we are making a positive impact in their lives. Shaily continued to show its clinical excellence by performing critical surgeries across units, and a few examples to be cited here are the very successful knee replacement on both legs of the heaviest ever patient of 165 kilos who came here from Sudan. Three kidney and one liver transplants were done at SC unit, and the critical cardiac procedure with liver failure was done at Shaily Indore. All these quality healthcare services that are being provided by Shaily help to boost our confidence in strengthening our position as a true multi-specialty hospital serving thousands of patients. I'm also excited about our growing Shalby Home Care Services, which grew by 27% year-on-year with revenues of 2.25 crores and patient count of over 6,800 in the last quarter. Our international revenue also grew by 3 times year-on-year with revenues of rupees 2.1 crores, wherein majority of patients came from East African countries in the last quarter. We are looking at deepening and expanding our association in many more African and UAE countries to accelerate our growth further. Shalby also takes pride in nurturing young healthcare talent through our Shalby Academy. During the last quarter, more than 1,000 students have registered in our various healthcare programs. We also offered jobs to 13 paramedical students from our academy across our hospitals. Our endeavor to expand our Shalby footprint through the asset-light model strategy is continuing at full speed. We recently signed a MOU in Jammu under our multi-speciality Shalby operated model. It's a 100-bed hospital operating since last 5-6 years, and now Shalby will take over its operations to run the hospital under the Shalby brand. We have started working on the handover process and expect to complete this by end of this quarter. For our dedicated orthopedic franchise model named Shalby Orthopedic Center of Excellence, or SOCE, we have made a soft launch at our Shalby Lucknow Franchise Hospital on October 11 and expect to start knee procedures by next month. We are also closely working with the hospitals with whom we have signed MOUs so far on taking over all the operations under our brand name, and we are optimistic to see the good developments come to fruition in the coming quarters of this financial year. Our focus remains on capitalizing on our core expertise and excellence in orthopedics to have 50 Shalby franchisee hospitals across India in another 3 years' time. Our knee and hip implant manufacturing business under Shalby Advanced Technologies, Inc. in California, U.S., made some steady progress during the last quarter, clocking revenues of rupees 24.1 crores, of which sales in the U.S. and India contributed around 60% and 40% respectively. We are placing considerable efforts to modify our customer mix in the U.S. to improve profitability and have now reached a ratio of 61% to 39% sales between retail and wholesale respectively. And we soon expect to hit the $1 million monthly sales consistently with new surgeons, hospitals, and distributors coming on board in the U.S. Our new product called Tahoe Unicompartmental Knee System, or TACS, as we call it short, that was launched in the U.S. in the first quarter, has seen good acceptance among several surgeons in the U.S. We continue to hire and train shop floor personnel to support the acceleration in manufacturing of implant components in our plant to 5,000 pieces a month. And currently, we are a 65-plus people organization in the U.S. Now, it has been more than a quarter that we have been consuming Shalby Consensus implants in our own hospitals in India, and we continue to receive a very positive response from our Shalby surgeon users. Our plans to launch Shalby Consensus implants pan-India for other surgeons and hospital groups is in sync with our launch goals for the third and fourth quarter of this financial year. Additionally, we have zeroed down on a regulatory and distributor partner in Indonesia. All required documentation are being submitted to the Ministry of Health there. We are very hopeful to introduce our products in Indonesia sometime in January of 2023. In summary, for our implant business, we stand focused on acquiring new customers, surgeons, hospitals, and channel partners through new product introductions and regular field meetings in the U.S. and India, shift our U.S. sales to a predominantly retail customer mix from wholesale, continuously increase our operations capacity and thereby bring in better efficiencies, add new products in our pipeline backed with clinical and research activities, substantially bring down our procurement and manufacturing costs, and last but not the least, groom the right talent and build strong leadership. With all key strategies in place, our team is extremely committed on flawless execution of these strategies. Shalby is very well poised to further improve occupancies and deliver double-digit growth in the hospital business with sustainable profitability. deepen and increase our Shalby footprint by adding several orthopedic units under the SOCE umbrella. To hit the coveted milestone of rupees 100 crore sales and be EBITDA positive in our implant business in the fiscal year. All in turn, I am confident will help create sustainable value for all stakeholders at Shalby. Now it's the turn of Venkat, CFO of Shalby Limited, to discuss Shalby's performance in more detail during the quarter. Over to Venkat. Thank you.
Thank you, Sushovan. Good afternoon, everyone. Now I'll walk you through the financial performance for the company for the second quarter FY 2023. First, I'll be running you through the standalone hospital performance, and then I'll be adding on the consolidated performance for the group. In Q2 FY 2023, our normalized revenues, excluding COVID and vaccination revenues, were rupees 1,824 million, up 14% on a year-on-year basis. The EBITDA increased to INR 437 million, up 27%. Our EBITDA margins continue to stand out in the industry at 24%, meeting our continued commitment of 20%+ margins. The profit before tax stood at INR 335 million, up 34%, and net profits of 218 million, a strong increase of 31% on a year-on-year basis. I'm also pleased to inform all of you that this quarter, all our units were EBITDA positive, this quarter. Coming to some operational numbers, we had IP count up 19% on a year-on-year basis to 12,600+, OP count up 8% year-on-year basis to 115,000+. Surgery counts went up 10% to 6,800+, and the occupancy was almost at 49%. Our ARPOB and ILOS for this quarter were at 33,439 and 3.9 days respectively. In Q2 compared to 33,977 and 4.02 days in the same quarter previous year. Our core specialties such as arthroplasty, oncology, cardiac sciences, orthopedic, critical care and general medicine and neurology contributed 83% to the revenues respectively in Q2 FY 2023. Another great development this quarter, we received a subvention of the interest and electricity dues till FY 2022 to the tune of 52 million. We are happy to inform all of you that we continue to maintain a very healthy ROC of 17% as at September 2022 from our hospital business. Now I'd like to speak a bit on our franchisee business. We at this point of time understand the huge market which is unmet by world-class ortho care. We intend to reach this segment through our franchisee model. We target small to mid-sized hospitals with a range of 30-100 beds in select geographies, purely focusing on ortho care. Of course, if we come across opportunities in multi-specialties like we did in Jammu, as informed by Mr. Sushovan, we also look at them very eagerly. The main intention is to achieve returns of a regular hospital with a substantially lower capital allocation. Now I'll speak about the consolidated financial performance of the company. In Q2 FY 2023, we reported a consolidated revenues of 2.07 billion, an increase of 12% year-on-year. The EBITDA was at 424 million, an increase of 31%. Adjusted net profit was at 223 million, a strong increase of 56% on a year-on-year basis. Our implant business under SHE had 241 million revenue in its second quarter of FY 2023, with a negative EBITDA margin of 2%. With significant ramping up of operations, we are expecting a strong turnaround by the end of FY 2023. We have closed this year with a net cash balance of 1.2 billion on a standalone level and 561 million at a group level. Now, adding on to Mr. Sushovan, I'd like to speak a bit on the implant business. You all know we started off with 300 components in May 2021, and we have been consistently clocking 3,000+ components on a month-on-month basis this year. Now, for every implant we sell, we need to maintain at least 8-10 variants of the same. In such a scenario, our inventory at any point of time would need to be almost 6 months of revenue. To address this, we are working very closely with very reliable supply chain partners to ensure that no possible adversities affect us, and our margins also remain protected at all times. We are happy to inform that Shalby Concession Implants have received extremely good feedback from some of the top surgeons in India. India continues to augment the US demand for the implant, and we expect this to continue over time. However, the dependence is expected to diminish in time as we expand to newer geographies in the very near future, as Mr. Sushoban has detailed. And lastly, with the induction of Mr. Vijay Kedia to our esteemed board, we would like to draw significant insights from his experience and expertise as Shalby grows to new heights. I thank all of you for your time, and I'll open to any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Bottoms Up Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity. I had two questions.
Harshit, sorry to interrupt, your voice is not clear.
Yeah. Is my voice audible now?
So we can hear you, but it's coming a little distorted.
Okay. Let me know if it's better now. I'll try to shift the location.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. We'll try and understand because levels are so. Please go ahead.
Got it. So the first question is on the franchisee business part itself, right? So I was just trying to figure out the size of revenues and profits with those 50 centers over a long period of time we can gather. So for example, in FY23, you said that you have a target of around 8 to 9 franchisee centers. And if I take a 50-bed center, then that means a 50 crore of annual revenue from every center. So wanted to understand the economics that what would be a broad revenue sharing agreement with those players for us, and what could be the overall profitability per center which we can expect. So I have to shall I ask it now or shall I ask it one by one?
No, I think we got your question, and Shanai Shah, who's the president of the company, and I will try and answer most of these questions. The financial part, we will request Mr. Venkat to chip in. But I'll start, and then Shanai can chip in. If you look at the model, the franchisee SOCE model as we're talking, we have two different models. One is the franchise-owned, franchise-operated, and the other one is the franchise-owned, shall be managed, or FOSM, as we're calling it now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at these two models, one is the franchise-owned, shall be managed, and the one is franchise-owned, shall be operated. Why we are saying shall be, the franchise-owned, shall be managed, we have changed the name from FOFO, which is franchise-owned, franchise-operated, to franchise-owned, shall be managed. And the reason we changed it is basically we wanted a much better management control from our side, while in that FOSM, we have lesser share of the revenue. So, for example, if you look at, say, FOSM model, which was previously called the FO model, the franchisee owner has the larger share of the revenue, and we get a smaller share of the revenue. The reason being is, in that case, the franchisee owner is spending everything, including the land, the right. building, the working capital and everything. Whereas we look at the franchise-owned Chaldi operator model, where the franchisee owner gets a single-digit revenue, but we get a much larger revenue because we are investing in the operations as well as some of the equipment and instruments that are happening. Now, going forward, if you look at from a ratio perspective, our objective is to get as much possible of the 50 franchisee models into the franchise-owned shall be operated model, which means that the revenue share that will be coming out of the 50 would be a majority coming to us and less to the franchisees. So if you look at the current franchisees that we are operating, the Udaipur one is a FOFO model, which is a franchisee-owned franchise-operated. But some of the other ones that we are talking about, which is the Rajkot, which we have signed, the Lucknow, which we have launched, the soft launch, the Gwalior, which is coming up, these are all franchise-owned, Shalby-operated model, where the revenues are coming up more. Maybe, Shanai, would you like to add more?
No, I think you covered it all, but I think Venkat can talk a little bit about how the commercials will work.
Thanks, Shanai. So basically, the idea is that, as Sushobhan also pointed out, that there are two models. One is the franchise-owned, franchise-operated, and one is the franchise-owned, Shalby-operated model. The FOFO model, we'll be sharing a revenue, we'll be giving out a revenue of around 3 to 5% of the revenue share to our partners. And in the full franchisee owned Shalby operated model, we'll be giving, we'll be taking around,
The franchisee owned Shalby managed will be taking between 5 to 7%, and the franchisee owned Shalby operated will be sharing between 3 to 8%.
I just try to again repeat what I understood here. So one is franchisee owned and franchisee operated.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, so one is franchisee owned, franchisee operated, and the other one is franchisee owned, but it is managed by Shalby. So if my understanding is correct, that if it's FOFO, then we just lend the name and everything else is done by the franchisee. So he should get much higher share of revenue versus in a franchisee-owned, Shalby-operated one where we are doing the operation. So we get a particular... In either of the cases, we don't want to invest in that equipment and the infra. So which was the whole SOC concept?
So I'll be very quick. Thanks for that question. So franchisee-owned Shalby-operated, the income statement will belong to Shalby. So, you know, the revenues, all the revenues will be booked in Shalby's books, and there will be a single-digit revenue share to the partner. In the case of franchisee-owned Shalby-managed, the income statement will belong to the franchisee, the working capital will belong to the franchisee, and there will be a revenue share of a single-digit done to Shalby in that case.
Okay. Understood. Got it. And maybe I'll just connect with you separately also for the economic part of it. But I had a few other questions. So one is regarding the Mumbai hospital. I think we have again delayed that slightly from even the one of the hospitals. We have delayed the operationalization to FY24. And even otherwise, when I look at the advance, for example, around 30 crores, which we have paid for Santa Cruz Hospital, it has been there for last 4-5 years. Want to understand what is the update on the Mumbai hospitals
I think I understood the question. I think there's something wrong with your line. But yes, the Mumbai project has been delayed. About 2.5 to 3 years have been delayed because of COVID, because the charity commissioner's office, etc., we were not getting the access. Since the last couple of months, we are just finalizing, an addendum that needs to be signed between the trustees of the trust and us. There have been a few delays from their end, but we are confident of signing the addendum in the next couple of weeks, after which we will be applying for the charity commissioner's permission, and post that we will be breaking down the existing unit and making a greenfield project over there. So it will take about 2 to 3 years from now for that facility to be operational.
Got it. And one last question from my side. This is regarding the transplant business, right? So you said that this year it will be at a scale of 100 crore revenue and probably 5,000 per month of production. Now, if I look at that 120,000 potential capacity, that means around 10,000 per month of production, so which would be, say, a maximum revenue potential of 200 crore from the existing businesses. Now, for the 100 crore top line, you said that we would be there at a break-even EBITDA. Want to understand that for 200 crore, what would be the overall EBITDA margin expectation we can have for this business, maybe in 24, 25? And second, well, I think the pace at which we are going and the demand is growing, beyond that 120,000 of annual capacity, how do we look at this business?
Okay, it's a great question. So let me take it one by one. There are three questions to it. So the question number one is when you look at the 100 crores and you look at the 5,000 components a month, when you look at 5,000 components, one component makes one-fourth of the total implant. So if you see, first of all, this is an implant. I'm sorry, I had to correct you. It's not transplant, it's implant. So when you say an implant, a knee or a hip comprises of four components, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are doing 5,000 components a month, this means around 1,250 constructs or 1,250 hips and knees put together, we can manufacture. We are going towards that. Right now, today, we are at 3,000 components a month. We expect to reach to 5,000 components a month. The capacity at the current level would be around 10,000 components a month. So when you look at, it all depends on the mix. So today, when we sell a knee or a hip in the U.S., we sell it at an average of $2,500. When we sell it in India, we get it for the knee, we get an average. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm one thing. When we say $2,500, that is for a set of four components?
Correct. Set of four.
Okay.
Set of four. That's right. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a different mix between the wholesale and a retail. If you heard me earlier, I said that our retail mix has now gone to 60% and our wholesale is on a 40%. We earn more money when we sell it to the retailer, and we earn a little less money when we sell to a wholesaler. So when you look at the strategies, you will realize our strategy is to get more retail and less wholesale. So our mix in retail and wholesale, we want to strengthen it so that we get more earnings out of the U.S. business. But coming to the U.S. and India, as I said, we are at a 60-40 ratio this quarter. But overall, if I look at the total business that we are envisaging for this full year of 100 crores, we expect around 75 crores to come out of the U.S. and 25 crores that will be coming out of India. Now, when you look at the ratio is a bit skewed because we have not been able to supply certain materials in the U.S., which we had run a bit of short supply, which Venkat was alluding to earlier in terms of the supply chain. We have got those materials. We've launched a new product called Tahoe Unicompartmental Knee. The instruments were still not finalized. It just got finalized. So you will see a spurt in the U.S. sales going forward, and this ratio of 60 versus 40 that you saw this quarter will change. You'll see more in the U.S. from a ratio perspective. So when you see more in the U.S., you'll see when we talk about the EBITDA of this quarter, which is slightly negative in single digits, it will turn to positive because the more we sell in the U.S., we will be getting better economies of scale and we'll be getting into a profitability. So that's the answer to your first and second question. On the third question, I do not have the figures right now in terms of we have a projection for EBITDA in year two, year three, year four, year five. But I can tell you in year five, our plans are to reach $100 million. $100 million in maybe in rupees terms at that point of time in 5 years could be 1,000 crores. And that will be giving us, and we are planning an EBITDA between 25% to 30% at the time. That is our plan in 5 years' time. I won't be able to specifically answer to you what will be the next year's projection for EBITDA because I don't have offhand in mind in front of me.
Sorry. No, I understood your point. So the only thing is, for example, if we achieve that 5,000 to 120 crore revenue, then probably by next year we might be at 200 to 50 crore revenue. But yeah, I got your point. That probably it will be difficult to project that EBITDA right now. And one last question first. So this is more on the role of Mr. Vijay Kedia. So he's definitely one of the most mature investors India has. So wanted to understand his role is more as a guiding principle, or is there any active participation other than that also?
So first of all, if you understand Mr. Kedia. So he has been a very well-known name in the investment community, as you know. And one of the things that we are looking from him, two things that we are really looking from him, obviously his expertise on investment and his understanding of the board governance. So he has been in several boards and he participates in several boards. So his understanding of board governance is great. So he will bring in a very fresh thinking and a fresh perspective from the investment community into the board. Secondly, I think we are also, this will help us to guide certain strategies and principles and build our brand. So that would be the second objective of him coming on board and helping us. So overall, if you see, his getting added into the board really strengthens the board and gives the all-round perspective and diversity into the board proceedings going forward.
Understood, sir. Perfect. Thanks a lot for so much time. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kidish Bakru from Orbiman Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the taking my question and good set of numbers. So just actually going back to the implant discussion you were having, right now you're doing 3,000 per month and let's say you get to 5,000 soon. Would it be possible to like demarcate how much percentage of quantity, let's say, is going to US and how much is going to India?
So as I said, if you look at the math, it will be around 75% will be going to the US and 25% will go to India. That is the plan. Having said this, you will see other countries coming in as well. So as I said earlier, Indonesia is starting in January 2023. We are looking at some of the other Southeast Asian countries from next year, fiscal year as well. We are planning to get into UAE as well as we are almost there in terms of supplies starting sometime in December or January in Colombia and Argentina, which are the two Latin American markets. So if you look at overall, I believe from a standpoint over the years, we will be between 65 to 70% in the U.S. and between 30 to 35% outside the U.S.
And what's the price point you said for India?
So India is around $800 for a knee. As you know, it is regulated, right? So it's a regulated market by capped. The knee prices have been capped by the NPPA. So that's a regulated market for India for knees. However, having said that, the hips are more dictated by the market forces, and it depends. But the average price of the hip, again, if it's a ceramic head, is around $900 or $950. Whereas when you look at the U.S., it's around $2,500. When you look at the Southeast Asian markets, it's almost similar to the prices that we get in India. When you look at the Latin American markets, it stands between the U.S. markets and the India and Southeast Asian markets. We are probing into the opportunities in the UAE. I'm not in a position right now to comment on the prices in the Middle East.
Understood. And when you actually say that eventually, let's say you start hitting the 10,000 number, 120,000 in a year.
Correct.
And my understanding is the 90,000 goes to the U.S. Is that like, does that leave enough quantity for other markets? Like, or is it like you will soon be under capacity constraint to expand to other markets?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So if you look at this, so it's better to use it by divided by four. So 120,000 divided by four is 30,000, right? So 30,000 joints, and as you rightly said, if 30,000 joints, if I give 20,000 to the U.S., only 10,000 is given to India and rest of the other places we're talking about. Just to give you a number which will be putting things into perspective, Shalby alone consumes around 12 to 14,000 implants in a year. So if I had to service only Shalby, I will be falling short. And obviously we are looking at doubling our
our business outside of Shalby in India as well. So as you rightly said, yes, we will be constrained on capacity in that plant. And that's the reason what we are doing. We have already reached out to several manufacturers across the world. It is too early to comment on which other places they are, but they are in Europe. They are in the US. We have already reached out to several of the manufacturers and looking at organizing an OEM arrangement where these plants are all ISO 9001 and ISO 13485 certified. Some of them are FDA approved. And we are looking at getting an OEM to them so that we do not fall short of capacity. In fact, one of our newer brands, we are in active talks to be able to get an OEM done for them. So to your point, yes, we are having an understanding of what will that 120,000 components or 30,000 joints will do and where will it sell. And for that to happen, what is the next capacity that we need to get? And we are in active conversations to get that sorted as well.
And currently, Shalby is not using any of the implant for captive consumption, right?
No, it is. It is. If they have, I do not have the numbers ready in front of me. I wish Rajesh were on the call. We already have done all three components, which is the total knee, which is called the consensus knee system or CKS. We have done the TUX, which is the total unicondylar knee system. And we have done the taper set hips, which is basically the one. And we have also done some cemented hips as well, which is the CHS system. So we have actually used four brands within Shalby, and we use regularly. Having said this, as I said earlier, we had constraints of supply issues, and we had to balance our supplies between India and the U.S. And that's the reason, though we wanted to supply as much as possible to India, we have to balance the demand versus the supply. We will not see the constraint next year when we will have a lot of production. Hopefully, our supply chains will be much more better. Our inventories get properly built up. As Venkat said, orthopedic business, especially joint implants, you have to have inventory. If a surgeon is using a product in the on the table, you have to have a minimum of plus two this side and plus two the other side of sizes from the template that is used to determine the sizes through an X-ray earlier. Without that, the surgeon won't allow any company products to be entering the OR. So it's a very different ball game in orthopedics, and what you need is a lot of inventory and a lot of service and manpower to be able to use it. So to your point, Shalby has been using this. It has found very satisfactory results. Dr. Shah and his team are outstandingly happy, and that news has also spread, and that's the reason we are getting a lot and lots of demands from many of our surgeons in India to be able to give their products. And we'll have a systematic launch. We have already launched a couple of products. We are using our taper set hips and our tucks given to some of the surgeons. But we have been very, very, I would say, limited in our launch. We'll be going all out in the next quarter when we have all our production supply.
And when we discussed this before also, I think one of the points was also that using more of the consensus implants will benefit hospital margins as well. Is that a long-term driver, do you think, when you use more of the in-house implants versus buying them from outside vendors?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? There was a break in your voice, or if someone else understood the question on the line.
I was just checking, vis-a-vis buying these implants from outside vendors, now that if you replace them with your in-house production, is there a significant margin in that over longer term for hospital part of the business?
Right now, no. Because as I said, we have to get into a certain level of production capacity to get the benefit economies of scale. So what we are doing, and that brings to an answer that I wanted to get out, is basically we are doing a lot of work in our supply chain. So we have recruited a brilliant director of supply chain in our company who used to work in an automobile industry And if you understand the automobile industry supply chain, it's extremely, extremely, I would say, ruthless, that you really need to be 100% accurate, maybe 200% accurate in things. So we got in that person, and he's changed the face of our supply chain. He has been able to dramatically reduce a lot of our procurement costs. He's been bringing in a lot of efficiencies in the manufacturing and production, the way we work, including scheduling. So what we are seeing, and now when we are increasing our capacity from 300 to 500 to 3,000 now to 5,000, we believe there would be a large reduction in our cost of goods sold, or COGS. So right now, we are not getting the benefit, but in the near future, we expect to get a lot of benefit when we get our products from our own plant versus buying from outside vendors in India.
Understood. Just going to the hospital side, there are two questions there. One, of course, the ARPOB had little softness. Is this because of slower surgery count, or is this the normal base?
I think it's a mix change that has happened when you look at the mix versus the prior quarter. You'll see arthroplasty generates their largest ARPOB. And right now, I think this quarter, we had a mix change where the arthroplasty as a percentage of total surgeries were less. And that's the reason you've seen a less ARPOB versus the previous one. But I think I'll fall back on Chennai or Venkat to answer that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what has happened is that if you compare year on year, the ARPOB is flat, it is the same. So it has not changed much. Having said that, quarter on quarter, it has come down a little bit because of the mix of medical versus surgical cases. So this is, as you all know, this is the season of a lot of ICU patients, a lot of dengue, malaria, etc., you know, for that. So what happens is that the ARPOB is typically lower for these kind of patients. So essentially, you know, which is the reason why it has come down a little bit. Having said that, it is still very healthy at over 33,500 rupees at group level.
Yeah, and Shane, on just on the bucket side, that segmentation that we usually do, this quarter I think there was only two buckets, 0 to 5, probably maybe has come into 5 to 10. So I just wanted to check, is that all the three hospital entities in 0 to 5 are now 5 year plus? A, and what's the, why are you seeing the occupancy increase? Is that like across the buckets, or is it specific to some particular facilities?
Sure. So I'll start, you know, in fact, all the hospitals now, you know, at Shalby are over 5 years, yes. One big positive for this quarter is that each and every hospital of the group has positive EBITDA margins. So, in fact, you know, all the units barring two are between the 15 to 37% kind of EBITDA margins. That is the range. And, in fact, as we see it, the occupancy has gone up significantly. So the way I would see it is that quarter one of last year was affected by the pandemic, and we saw only COVID patients come in largely in the hospital. So because of that, a lot of drainage of non-COVID patients had come in the quarter two of last year. Despite that, we have seen a 14% increase on a year-on-year basis in the hospital business and a 16% increase in the occupancy level. So these are clear signs that, you know, we are moving towards a completely new trajectory now. And as we see it, we expect to continue to grow quarter on quarter at 5%, you know, to end this year with more than 800 crores of revenue in the hospital business. I'm also accompanied by Dr. Nishita Shukla, who can also add, you know, she's the chief operating officer, so she can also add on the performance of these units.
Yeah. Yeah, hello everybody. I would just like to add that, you know, we are going very much strong with, you know, a self-paying and insurance patient due to huge insurance penetration post-COVID. Definitely our surgical branches are also doing good. And ARPO was just related to that medical patient that is reduced. But, you know, going more with self-paying and TPA patients and less with government patients, as well as going in with more super specialty work, say it is, we are going huge and promoting hugely for the organ transplant program and bringing in a lot of international patients by doing a lot of different types of tie-ups with embassies as well as other government firms. So this is definitely going to increase the occupancy at, you know, 53% to 54% by the end of this year.
Yeah, so that is just my last question, that while you said 800 crores is very much still doable, so second half will see a significant jump there.
That's right.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Thakur from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I had questions on about our FOFO and FOSO model, where we have sort of said that we are adding 2,200 beds in ortho care, but also targeting multi-specialty hospitals. So is there any guidance or thought process behind going for multi-specialty hospitals in preferred cities? You've mentioned like Delhi, Mumbai, Kolkata, the Tier 1 cities. So what are we targeting there? Other we are targeting through FOSO, FOFO model, or we are targeting some acquisitions also?
Yeah, so, you know, there are two things here. One is with regards to multi-speciality hospitals, which we already run. So we have said it before that we are looking at opportunities in Delhi and Calcutta for operating a multi-speciality hospital. The first preference would be to do an operations and management in the cities. One update for the quarter is that we have signed up an MOU in Jammu for a multi-speciality model, where again we will be operating a 100-bedded facility there. In terms of franchisee, we have identified about 30 cities in India where we would like to have franchisees over the next 3 to 5 years. That is the chairman's vision, to have 50 franchisees by the end of 3 to 5 years. Within those preferred cities, we have already signed up MOUs in, we are already operational, first of all, in Ahmedabad, Udaipur and Lucknow. We have already signed up MOUs in Kanpur, Gwalior, Rajkot, as well as Jaipur. And we are already in advanced stages of discussion in several cities like Ranchi, Patna, Jodhpur, amongst other cities. So, you know, even Aurangabad is another city where we are in advanced stages of talk at this point of time.
Thank you. And do we have some sort of guidance on our breakup for hospitals? As we see, all our hospitals are 5+ years. So what sort of occupancy levels and ARPOB we enjoy in the 5 to 10 category? On a blended level, we are having 49% occupancy and about 34,000 ARPOB. So 5 to 10 category, how would that peter out?
So 5 to 10 year category, again, is a fast growing category where, you know, if you look at the 5 to 10 year category today, that contributes nearly 2/3 of the group revenues. So this is how significantly well it has done. While having said that, I would say that the potential to, you know, for those units to add to the EBITDA is significant, because although it contributes 2/3 to the revenue, it is at a 16% kind of blended EBITDA margin. So that blended EBITDA margin from 16%, we can get a lot of operating leverage over the next few years, and that margin expansion can go up to 20-25% as the revenues grow.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket from Kedia Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Just wanted to ask, in one of the interviews on the media channel, Sanesha had mentioned about home care category growing and the plans on sales. So just wanted to understand, right now it is a minuscule portion of the overall group revenue. So how big do we see this opportunity in next 3 years or 5 years?
Yeah, so on the call I had mentioned that we had grown 27% on a year-on-year basis when it comes to home care, and this business has the potential to grow up to 5% of our total hospital revenue. So today we are at a much lower single-digit number where we can significantly grow. There is a lot of patient loyalty associated with the home care business, because once somebody avails your services at home and you do a rounded care for them, what happens is that, you know, you get indirect benefits because those patients then come into your hospital or refer patients to your hospital for any kind of treatment. Having said that, at the same time, we are also adding our plethora of services at every point of time. We are also looking to introduce, ICU at home amongst other services. Even Dr. Shukla would like to add on the home care front, because today we are having several areas, and she'll be able to express where we are growing fast amongst the services that we offer.
Yeah. For the home care division, we are doing good with, you know, the pharmacy business as well as diagnostic business. Post-COVID, you know, people prefer to have services at home, and, you know, they avoid coming to the hospital. So that is how our pharmacy business, our nursing care business and physiotherapy business, secondary to surgery, we are having a good, you know, growth in that. Other than that, we are planning to come up with some super specialty treatments at home, say a diabetic package where we give in, you know, the full 3 months diabetic medicine and a consultation at home. Then we are thinking for dialysis at home, which will help, you know, the working class to get their dialysis done at their ease time. And we are also going for some, you know, high-end procedures, which we are into planning of packages and all, where we are also getting the demand and request for that. So definitely home care is going to do good in coming time. And it is definitely going to, you know, connect patient with hospitals also. Thanks
for answering that. Another question, just wanted to understand on the medical tourism opportunity for the company. Like, as we have been reading in media over the last 6 months, India is promoting a lot of medical tourism. So are we seeing any traction on ground, especially for Shalby, and how big is this opportunity?
Yeah, so post-COVID, we have seen a lot of increase and influx in the international patients coming in. At any point of time, we've been treating patients from the East African patch, like Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, as well as countries like Sudan, Middle East, etc. So we have been treating a lot of patients. However, having said that, it has now come back to pre-COVID levels, the volumes now, but we do expect to grow at 15-20%. Every year in the international business revenue, because the potential there is huge. In fact, for the last 2 years, patients have not been able to travel, so there is significant pent-up demand. So all of that is expected to flow over the next 4 to 6 quarters, I would say. And Shalby is making a lot of inroads into some of these other countries as well. We are in advanced levels of discussion with several companies and doctors in Bangladesh, in Abu Dhabi, in Oman, in Africa, and we are hoping that some out of these discussions will fructify, and it will result in increase in patient footfall in our hospitals in India.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ram Chandra from ANT Investments LLC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. My question is with respect to state trade receivables. I noticed that from 31st March to 30 September.
Sir, sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking a little bit.
What about now?
If you can talk a little more.
It's better now?
Yes, sir.
We can hear you. Okay. So my question is with respect to trade receivables. I noticed that it's been increased by 15 crore. It's almost at 109 crores now on 30th September. In the last, one of the last calls, this question was raised, and it was, I think Mr. Shah had clarified that due to this particular government scheme, the trade receivables at that level, and they are in the process of discontinuing that government scheme, and there will be no increase in trade receivables, in, I think in Q4 or Q3, I don't remember it. So I just want to know why is it that their hospital business trade receivables is increasing at this pace?
So thanks for that question. Actually, of course, we have as Dr. Shah said, that we'll be avoiding non-viable government schemes. We are very much on that path. We have actively disengaged with a lot of the schemes which are not viable enough for us. But what we are doing is we are selecting schemes which are very promising, like the one in Rajasthan. We have good schemes in Jabalpur, etc. So we become very selective, and we also ensure that our internal processes and then the subsequent follow-ups with the various schemes is continued at a sustained level, so that we can keep the receivables under control. But it is very imperative that as we grow and we look to increase our revenues, we have to have some level of government revenues, but at the same time, we'll be very, very selective in the kind of schemes which we engage in.
I will also add to that that we are very pleased to announce that in the first half of this year, we have received over 10 crores of subsidies from the state government. You know, this is after constant effort of pursuing this agenda. So that has been received, and it is the constant endeavor of the management team to keep the receivables in check. And in fact, we are only trying to do those schemes where, you know, we are able to get and monetize the money and able to get it in time. For several units, because, you know, if you look at our hospitals, we are one of the youngest hospital groups. So, you know, most of the hospitals are still in the early phase of growth. And at that time, you know, initially we have to take some of these schemes. Having said that, we are gradually reducing, you know, the number of schemes that we are taking up, and only working largely with the schemes where we are able to realize the money in time.
Okay. Is it possible for the management to estimate the time period within which you can realize all?
Sorry, your voice is breaking.
Okay, 1 second. Is it possible for the management to give some sort of guidance as to when they'll be able to realize 109 crores?
See, as the company will continue to grow, the working capital is likely to increase. Having said that, it will not increase in proportion to the revenue. So the revenue increase will be higher as a percentage, and we will keep the receivables under check.
Okay, hopefully. The second question is with respect to the acquisition part. Through media information, I understand that Shalby is looking to acquire hospitals in Delhi or Kolkata. Right?
That's right.
The thing is, I just want to know with respect to how much leverage that the management is thinking with respect to these acquisitions. I think what is that portion that company is looking at to take on the balance sheet for any of these acquisitions?
So,
if there is any possible opportunity come across?
Sure. So I think the company is, the company believes that up to 2 to 3 times of annual EBITDA, we would be comfortable with that kind of debt. Having said that, even if we do these acquisitions, we will not be able to get to that level. We will be much lower than that because the company is sitting in a net cash position as we talk right now. So it doesn't seem like we will get to those levels in the first place. Having said that, the first preference is really to go for operations and management rather than a acquisition. So we don't want, we want, we would rather go for a asset-light model. And the last point I would like to make is that, you know, we are already at a 17% kind of ROCE levels today. So, you know, we have been very prudent in terms of not making any capital investment since our IPO, barring the implant business. So there's no additional CapEx in the hospital business in terms of a new facility over the last 5 years. And this was done as a commitment to all the shareholders that we want to first bring the ROCE to a certain level even before we think of making another acquisition or a capital investment.
Okay. So basically, if that is going to be leverage, it's the max level is 2 to 3 times of our annual EBITDA, is it?
That's right.
Okay. That's excellent. That's all from my side. Thanks for clarifying on these points.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants. Please restrict to one or two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Neeraj from Prospero Tree Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Thank you for the opportunity. What is the current EBITDA margin of Surat and Naroda Hospital?
See, we are not sharing individual hospital EBITDA margins, but I will tell you that the blended average of, you know, the 5 to 10 year units is 16%. And, you know, there is significant margin expansion from the previous quarters.
Okay. So still, is it both hospitals below 25% margin or
yes,
above 25%?
25% margin, but both are above 16%.
Okay. So when the hospital will match with other like Krishna Hospital margins?
Yeah. See, as the occupancy will ramp up and, you know, as the revenues will grow, we will see that the margins will expand. I would say that Jaipur and Indore are two units which are doing exceptionally well for us at this point of time in terms of occupancies and revenues.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ron Sen from Marabout Stocks. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, we did hear about a lot of cities where we are planning to come up with hospitals or franchisees. Just a data point, Kerala and Tamil Nadu are the two leading states with elderly population in India. And the forecast for 2030 is like 20% of Kerala and 18% of Tamil Nadu will have elderly population. So are we not looking at these two states especially, given arthroplasty, where we are the leaders, will have a more relevance in those two states?
Yeah. So I think that's a good one. From the perspective of franchisee, yes, we will be exploring certain cities in the south. There are all the southern five states, the state capitals. They are basically important to us in terms of setting up a franchisee. So we will continue to explore opportunities in these areas.
Okay. Thank you. My next question. So any plans of any tie-ups or MOUs with elderly residents, and a lot of these brands are coming up on a national level. Like in Pune, we have Atashree. In Delhi NCR region, we have Antara. And this is, as per the research reports, this is a huge surge that's going to hit India over the next 5 to 10 years. So are we exploring this route of doing any tie-ups, especially with these elderly residences?
Yeah, we are doing tie-ups not only with these elderly residences. We are also doing a lot of health talks. We are engaging a lot of communities, whether it is religious, whether it is commercial bodies, trade organizations. And so there is a lot of work that we do in terms of conducting these activities to, you know, kind of, you know, create awareness of the kind of work we are doing.
Okay. Okay. I think that's about it. Thank you so much and wishing you all the best for the next part of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, I have noticed that I think around 75 crores has been invested in the implant business in this quarter. So if the management can throw light into, you know, what is the kind of deployment, where is it utilized, and what kind of assets are going to be created with that investment?
Venkat, would you like to take that question?
So this 75 crores which has been invested is essentially for the repayment of the term loan which was earlier taken from the working capital demand loan from the bank. So that is what has been done right now. But of course, we are looking at possibly another $10 million of investment from the group into that company.
So, so the subsidiary had about 75 crores of debt, is it?
Yeah, no. So essentially, we had taken a loan in the U.S., and we had to repay that loan, and essentially that is why this funding was given in this particular quarter to repay back that loan. Having said that, the funds that are being used there, whether it is in the form of loan or whether it is in the form of a debt or equity instrument going from Shelby, are actually used right now to kind of create an inventory of implants and instruments, because as we mentioned earlier in the call, at any point of time, we require 6 months of inventory, you know, to basically for 1 month of revenue. So essentially, we are building that base, and which is what Mr. Sushoban alluded to earlier, that we need to get to the 5,000 component mark. And we are very confident by the end of this year, we will be able to get to that stage.
So if I were to understand that your proposal, there would be another kind of an investment of about 80 to 100 crores before the consensus business can be self-sufficient. Is that correct?
The 80 to 100 crore of investment before what you said, can you please repeat?
Before the consensus business can fund itself, at what point will that business not require any more money?
Sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is coming a little distorted. May I request you to speak through the handset?
I think I got your question. We believe that, and Mr. Sushoban can also add, that, you know, in the next 3 to 6 months, we believe that this this business will be EBITDA break-even on a sustainable basis, and we will be positive. And in the next 12 months, we should be cash accretive also.
So my question was whether the consensus business will not require any more funds from the Shelby parent company, right? I just wanted to understand at what point will it.
Yeah, which is exactly what I'm saying, that within the next 12 months.
Is it after the 180 crores or before the 80 crores?
I'm saying within the next 12 months, we believe that the business will be cash flow accretive, right? In the meanwhile, we may have to pump in money to basically build up that inventory, and that investment will be to the tune of 40 to 60 crores over the next 12 months.
Okay. I think that's all.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Vidya Shankar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. First of all, commending on the excellent performance in the first half of the year and looking forward for similar and better performances to close the financial year. My question is regarding the IPO proceeds. Has that been utilized completely, or is there something yet to be utilized in that? Number two is the dividend expected anytime in the coming months? And number three, the acquisitions that we are planning, will that be a combination of cash, debt and equity or only debt? Or what is the plan for the acquisition part of hospitals and other things? Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll take the last one first. We are a net cash company. So essentially, any potential acquisitions or investment will be using the existing cash. After that, there is a scope of raising debt because, we will be doing EBITDA in the range of 170 to 180 crores. So, the company will be comfortable to go between 2 to 3 times this EBITDA levels in terms of raising debt. So we don't believe that there is any question of raising any equity funds at this point of time. Secondly, yes, answering your first question that we have used the entire proceeds of the IPO. We had very clearly defined in the IPO in the DRHP the proceeds of the funds, and they have been all used for those purposes, including a majority part of which was to repay the existing debt of the company.
Thank you. The line for the participant dropped. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shishoban Das Gupta, sir, for closing comments.
Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoyed the session. You have understood that we are in the right track, and with all your support, we believe that we would be having a fantastic fiscal year across all our businesses and our flagship businesses. We talk about the very steady hospital business, the very growing SOC business model, and the very high opportunity implant business that we are there at Shalvi. So thank you for your support, and look forward to seeing you again in the next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.